International Latino singer Sara Aroeste has spent the last decade traveling the globe, fusing both original and 15th century Latino folk songs with her unique blend of rock, pop, and jazz. She'll bring her fresh and inspiring modern sound to El Paso when she performs at Congregation B'nai Zion with her music collaborator and pianist Shai Bahar. Together, they will present music off her latest album, Gracia, a mix of original, feminist, experimental, Latino songs. They perform in El Paso on Monday, December 8th. Welcome, Sara.
Thank you for having me.
So before we continue to talk about your Latino rock style, can you tell us, what is Latino?
That's a great question. So a lot of people think that Latino is a combination of Spanish and Hebrew, and that's not entirely the case. At its core, Latino is Castilian Spanish. It was originally the Spanish that all people were speaking pre-1492 in Spain. And after the Inquisition, when Jews, among several other groups, were asked not so nicely to leave, we took that Castilian Spanish we had been speaking and we combined it with the languages of the countries where we eventually settled. So my family ended up in the Ottoman Empire, in Greece and Turkey, primarily in the Balkans. So our Ladino is Castilian Spanish at its core, mixed in with bits and pieces of languages all the way between Spain and Greece. So you might hear a few words of Portuguese, Italian, French, Arabic, Greek, and yes, some Hebrew. The Hebrew was mostly found in the Ladino that was spoken in the synagogues or that related to liturgical pieces, but the everyday spoken Ladino actually didn't have a lot of Hebrew.
So how did you come to be moved to sing songs in this dialect?
Well, I grew up with this language, believe it or not. It is still a very much spoken and lively language, and it's a very important part of Sephardic culture. I fell in love with the language primarily because it's part of my family history, but also because as a language, it is so hypnotic in its breadth. I mean, it really is a pan-Mediterranean hybrid language. It includes so many different cultures and languages. It really is so universal, and it's such a shame that so few people have even ever heard of it.
But I suppose that's why you travel the world singing Latino rock as you do?
Exactly. I mean, when I grew up with this culture, Latino isn't just a language. It really is part of a broader culture, and I was always very fascinated by my upbringing and by my family's past. I would grow up in suburban New Jersey, which is not really the hotbed of Sephardic culture, and I would see in my hallway these exotic pictures of my grandparents, you know, in, you know, very either Spanish or Turkish garb, and I was just fascinated by how it came to be that I ended up in New Jersey, and I asked a lot of questions and around different family gatherings and dinner tables where we ate very distinctly Balkan foods, or the songs that we were singing were this weird dialect of Spanish. As a little child, I, you know, obviously had a lot of questions, and in asking these questions, I was surprised by the lack of information that was supplied to me, because, you know, quite frankly, I don't have such an unusual immigrant story in my family. My family was escaping war. In their case, it was the Balkan Wars, and when they came to the U.S., they were eager to leave the old country behind and become settled in America. And so they didn't necessarily pass along the traditions to the next generations. So whenever I had questions and I asked my mother, for example, she couldn't necessarily answer me. And I was very frustrated and I wanted to know more. So I really made it my mission as I got older to learn everything I could about my Sephardic heritage.
Speaking of your Sephardic heritage, so when I was doing research on you, I learned that your family built a synagogue?
Yes, that is true. In the 1920s, there is a synagogue in Salonika, also known as Thessaloniki in Greece, and it was a very prominent Sephardic city before World War II. In fact, it was majority Sephardic, and the non-Jews even had to learn Ladino to be able to communicate with the merchants, most of whom were Jewish and Sephardic. And at the time, my extended family was living in Salonika, and in the 1920s, my great-great uncles built this beautiful synagogue in the center of Salonika. And the story there is that during World War II, much of Salonika was destroyed and most of the Jewish institutions were completely obliterated by the Nazis. And yet this one synagogue was kept standing because they actually used it as a Red Cross shelter. So it was never destroyed.
Okay, so fast forward to where we are today. And I know that you originally started your musical career or your singing career in opera, and then kind of decided to move over to performing Sephardic Ladino music. Tell us about your opera roots, and then kind of tell us how you decided to transition into what you're doing today.
Sure. Well, I always thought I was going to be an opera singer, and I spent much of my childhood training in opera, and I was doing competitions and singing in my summers at various opera houses as, you know, at apprenticeships and summer programs. And after several years in college, I was participating in a summer program in Israel, in Tel Aviv, as part of the Tel Aviv Opera, and it was called the Israel Vocal Arts Institute, and I happened to have a coach, just by coincidence, who shared the same Sephardic background as myself, and he's a wonderful, wonderful Sephardic singer as well. His name is Nico Castell, and it just happened to be that he's also a great diction coach at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. And in the middle of our opera coachings, we would steal away and he would teach me some of the classic Ladino repertoire. And I just fell in love with the music. I had known some from my family during, you know, family occasions and gatherings, but I never really studied it formally. And this was my chance. And after that program ended, I came back to America, and I studied with him at the Met for a couple of months. And I gave a series of recitals, opera recitals, in which I had a small program tucked away in the middle of these opera pieces of Ladino songs, of classical Ladino songs. And without fail, after every single performance, audience members would come up to me and tell me that the Ladino portion was their favorite part. And that really stayed with me. And after a couple years more, I realized, you know what, I was never going to have the career in opera that I'd want. I mean, there are just so many sopranos out there, and I was never really going to be as successful as I'd ever want. And it occurred to me that my true love was really not with opera, but with Ladino music. And eventually I made the transition to doing Ladino full time.
We're glad you did. I've been listening to your music.
I am too.
It's great. You know, there's this wail, this beauty to it that you can hear. And, you know, here in El Paso especially, you know, a lot of us speak Spanish. So I can understand for the 98% of what you're saying. And it's beautiful. And I know there's a lot of feminist themes running through your music. What is it about singing feminist Ladino songs that calls to you, I suppose?
I love that question. So I can answer it in a couple of different ways. The first is that some people are surprised to hear that I write my own music, because it is on the rarer side that a young musician would be writing her own music in Ladino, because a lot of people sadly think that this language is dying or is dead. And first of all, I can tell you that that is not the case, and I'm not the only one now writing original music. There are, you know, quite a few people who are doing so. But it is not so common. A lot of people really concentrate on the beautiful traditional repertoire that exists. I'm interested in the contemporary expression of Ladino and showing new audiences how universal and relevant this music is. So I do that both through my instrumentation, which is a little bit more rock style, and also through the lyrics and imagery I use in my own music. And for me, I have always been interested in the female experience in Jewish music specifically because I think that that story is really underrepresented. And in Sephardic music specifically, a lot of the music originated from the female's point of view. A lot of these folk songs were sung around big feasts and in the kitchen and in various domestic situations that were traditionally female. And a lot of the songs really embrace the female spirit. And that story, I don't think, is told enough. Sephardic music really loves the female spirit and the body. There are some very, very sensual songs, and I've always wanted to highlight those and bring those to light. So in my own music, a lot of my songs are also written with a distinctly female perspective, and my last album, in fact, is called Gracia, which has several meanings, but the primary meaning was actually in honor of a great, great woman. She's really my Sephardic heroine, Doña Gracia Nasi, who was an amazing woman of 15th century Portugal. She was a crypto-Jew, a converso, one of those Jews who converted to Catholicism to escape the Inquisition, but in secret kept her Judaism alive. And the amazing story about her is that she became the wealthiest woman of all of Europe during that time. In Renaissance Europe, not only actually was she the richest woman, she was the richest person for a time. She inherited this great, great wealth from her husband. She was widowed at 28 as a single mother, and she used her wit, her femininity, her business savvy, and she essentially worked out deals with popes and kings and even sultans who came to her for money. And in return, she secured safe passage for many Jews who were escaping the Inquisition, and she settled them in Tiberias, now Israel. And she is just, for me, the consummate role model of somebody who did everything she could to keep her heritage alive. And for her, we owe so much to her today for helping to keep our culture. And sadly, so few people have ever even heard of her. And I really tried my best in this album to highlight her and pay homage and to write a lot of songs with her in mind that I hope if she were alive today, she'd be proud of.
Well, Miss Sarah, we're thankful that you're going to bring us your wit, your talent, and your femininity to El Paso. And we look forward to seeing you perform at Temple B'nai Zion. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Sarah Aroeste works tirelessly to keep Ladino music alive for a new generation. Her style, be it via original music or with interpreting Ladino folk repertoire, combines traditional Mediterranean Sephardic sounds with the contemporary influences such as rock, funk, jazz, and blues. You can see her in El Paso when she performs at Temple B'nai Zion on Monday, December 8th.